You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome to Encouraging Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Hell, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Hell, Part 1.
Okay, so today we are dealing with the topic that many people don't want to deal with. And as we go through the lesson today, it will become clear why they don't want to deal with this. Now, I did have a Bethany member that challenged me and said, Pastor Glaze, I don't believe you that you believe in the lake of fire because you never say anything about it. Now, those of you who have the notes, and if you printed them off, you will see at the bottom of the notes that this chapter right here, actually what I did was cut and paste a chapter from my book. The title of the book is listed below here. The title of the book is Bible Prophecy, A Look into God's Plans for the Future. Actually, I published this book back in 2014. It's actually being updated at this point. So, you know, we're going to update it and publish it again. But this is the chapter that is in the book. So you have a copy of this particular chapter. Now, notice this as we open up. Even though Jesus said more about hell than he did heaven, and that's true. You look at Jesus. You know, Jesus said more about two things that people that seem to rub people the wrong way. He said more about hell, and he said more about money than he said about anything else. So Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. Yet and still, heaven is the place where we're going. So there must have been a reason that Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. So, you know, if Jesus took this matter seriously, it seems like we ought to also. But yet and still, it's not very popular. And we're gonna look at some of the reasons why it's not popular today. The world does not wanna believe in hell because they don't wanna go there. Many Christians don't wanna talk about hell because they believe it's offensive. You know, you don't want to offend other people. So you don't say anything about it. As much as we would like to avoid the subject, it is one that is clearly taught in the scripture. And I've often said this, that if I was God, I wouldn't send anybody to hell because I just have a hard time, you know, fathoming, you know, people going to this place of eternal torment. So, you know, again, if I was God, you know, I wouldn't send anybody there. Now let's look at some misconceptions about hell. And some of these you may have heard as you have talked to people. Again, it's because they want to avoid the reality that there is a hell, all right? So there's many misconceptions about hell. All right, here goes some. Have you heard this one? Heaven and hell are here on this earth. Now, to some degree, that statement is true. I like what one of my teachers, Dr. Harold Wilmington, said. He said, the closest some people will come to heaven will be here on this earth, and the closest that some people will come to hell will be here on this earth. You know, however, hell is a place, a literal place. Now, let me say this. Now, I believe I'm going to address this a little bit later in the lesson also, is that some people don't believe that there's a literal hell. You know, they believe that it's a place of figurative punishment. So I'm going to say this, you know, regardless of the fact of whether it's literal or figurative, I don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go if it's literal or if it's figurative. So this is some people's degree. I mean, some people's thought is that heaven and hell are right here on this earth. And I'm sure that you've heard that said before. Here goes one. I'm sure you heard this one said before. All my friends will be there. Now, this might not be an accurate statement, but you know what? If some of your friends did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they will be there. All right. But it's not going to be like you think. You know, some people think, well, you know, we're all going to go to hell and it's going to be a big party and we're going to party and have a good time. All right. Some people think that they're going to sit around an eternal campfire, right? Making s'mores and roasting hot dogs and talking about the good old times, right? And that's their concept of hell. You know, sadly to say, as we look at the scripture, that's not what the scripture says. You know, another misnomer is that hell is a place controlled by an angel wearing a red suit, carrying a pitchfork with pointed ears, a tail, and sporting a goatee, right? So this is not an accurate description of hell, even of Satan, because the Bible lets us know in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan can be transformed into an angel of light. So he don't look like the man on the hot sauce bottle, right? You know, he can be transformed into an angel of light. And then the scripture also lets us know that he's not conformed and consigned right now eternally to hell, but you know, he's walking around this earth, you know, like a roaring lion, seeking who he can be, who he can desire. So, you know, this is another misconception about hell. And then another one is that it is a place for extremely wicked people. Yes, it is a place for extremely wicked people, but anyone who dies without Christ, whether good or bad, will be there. Now, let me say, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the messenger. This is what the word says. I like what Bo Ford says about the word. He said, I quoted and I told it, but I didn't wrote it. I didn't write it. I didn't put this in there. You know, God gave us his word, and this is what God put in here. So there's going to be wicked people and there's going to be good people. Again, we don't like to think about that. You know, we don't like to think about our good old granny, you know, who baked us oatmeal raisin cookies and, you know, read us bedtime stories. You know, we don't like to think that granny is going to be there. But if granny don't know Jesus, that's where granny is going to be. Now, so that should give us a burden to want to pray for and witness to granny, to make sure that granny knows the Lord, all right? So some people have that misconception that hell is a place for wicked, extremely wicked people, all right? Now, let me say this, and you have these notes. I think it was 11 pages of notes that you have. So even if you didn't print them off, you have them, and you can refer to them. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you, you need to really grab onto this, because this is things that people come up with to explain why a loving God will not let somebody go to hell. They believe that how can God be a God of love and let somebody go to hell? And so these are some things that people come up with to explain why God will not let people go to hell. And again, this is a chapter out of my book on prophecy. Many people shudder at the prospect of a human being suffering eternally. And so they have developed theories to explain away the endless torment of hell. And so we see that here's some of them: universalism, annihilationism, purgatorialism. Okay, so let's look at what these things say and how we need to understand them. Okay, the first one is universalism. And this one says everyone, including the wicked, will eventually be saved. A loving God will not allow anyone to suffer eternally in hell. In the end, everyone will go to heaven. And so here goes the scriptures that they use to support this theory. 1 Timothy 4:10 says God is the savior of all men. So that means that what they take that to mean that God saves everyone, including the wicked. And then a loving God, 1 John 4:8 and 4:16 would not send anyone to hell. So universalism says in the end, everybody will be saved. Many of you at one time may have heard of a guy, you may have even followed him. His name was Carlton Pearson, and he was very popular at one point until he accepted the view of universalism. He started teaching this doctrine that everybody's going to heaven, you know, that everybody will be saved, that no one will go to hell. But as we look at the scripture, we see here that the scripture is very clear. Some people go into everlasting punishment, Matthew 25 in verse 46. John 3:18 says, who does not believe is condemned. And then 1 John 5:12, some do not have eternal life. So, you know, this lets us know that universalism, you can't buy into that theory of universalism where in the end, everybody is going to be saved. Another theory that's used to explain away hell is what's called annihilationism. And this says the wicked will completely be annihilated and cease to exist. So, I mean, I would like to believe this. I would like to believe that God would not send anybody to hell to suffer eternally. I would like to believe that. And so if I believe in annihilationism, I would say, you know, Hebrews 6:8, 10:7, Jude 7, that the wicked are utterly consumed by fire, that they are consumed body, soul, and spirit, and that they cease to exist, that there's no memory of those individuals in the annals of history, God's record, that they just cease to exist, and that they are not going to spend an eternity in a Christless hell. I would like to believe that. And then John 3:16 is a verse they use also to say they will perish, they will be destroyed, that they will just, again, perish. They take that word perish to mean cease to exist. All right. But let's go to the scripture once again. Daniel 12:2 says some will be raised to eternal judgment. All right. So some will be raised unto righteousness, and some will be and be rewarded, and some will be raised to eternal judgment. And I noticed the phrase there, eternal judgment, right? Not temporary judgment, but eternal judgment. And then remember that rich man in Luke chapter 16, he was alive and he was in hell, right? And then we have Acts 24:15 that says all the dead will be resurrected. So you don't cease to exist, that you live on the other side. And then there's this idea of purgatory or purgatorialism. And what this says is after death, sinners go to an intermediate state where they are purged of their sins and then they go to heaven. All right. They are purged of their sins and then they go to heaven. This can be seen in some branches of Hinduism, where people go to hell to have bad karma burned away. So what are they saying here? You know, they're saying that you go somewhere, you pay for your sins, and then you go to, Hinduism would say, a state of nirvana. Or, you know, some people would say, after you are purged of your sins, then you go to heaven. And so this would be the theory of purgatorialism. Now, the scripture says in Luke 23:43, the thief on the cross went to Jesus, went to paradise and not to purgatory. So, you know, you figure this guy, he was a thief and he lived his whole life robbing other people, right? Or let's say that anyway, that's what he was accused of, robbing other people. But yet and still, when he went to die, when he died, he didn't go to a place where his sins had to be purged. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And then Hebrews 9:27 says, after death is judgment, not purging. That when you die, you're not purged of your sins, but when you die, that you go to face the judgment. And so this shoots down the idea of reincarnation also. Your reincarnation that says, you know, you go to somewhere and you turn into an animal where you have to, you know, serve time as an animal or insect or something like that. And then once you've paid that price, then you go to the next level. That's what some theories say. But Hebrews 9:27 is very clear. After death is not purging. After death is judgment, right? When you die, for the Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You wake up in the presence of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, and you die, when you die, you wake up not in the presence of the Lord, but you wake up separated from the Lord and in a place of judgment. And then Revelation 3:20-11, sinners are not purged, but they are condemned. So if I would encourage you to read these scriptures. Sinners are not purged, but they are condemned. Now, here goes a recent one that I heard. And so I threw this one in here, and it's called conditionalism. And what this says is, after an unsaved person dies, his soul goes to a place of temporary torment. The body and soul are resurrected at the great white throne and sentenced to judgment proportionate to their sins. After suffering according to their sins, the person is destroyed and ceases to exist. So this is a little different. We looked at this other one up here called annihilationism, which says that a person becomes annihilated. All right. Well, this one right here says that before you become annihilated, that you pay for your sins, that you go to a place of judgment and you pay for your sins. And then after you pay for your sins, then you are destroyed, that you cease to exist. So the difference between this and annihilationism will say that when you die, that you cease to exist. But this one says that you live on until you pay for your sins, and then you cease to exist. And so the scripture that they use to support it, again, not that we agree with this, but the scripture they use to support it is, they say the unsaved will experience the second death. Revelation 20:14, the lost will be forever destroyed, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And those who die without Christ perish or cease to exist. So again, let's be clear on this one. It says that after you die, that you go and you pay for your sins. And then after you pay for them, then you cease to exist. And so again, we look at Jesus. He said that people go into eternal punishment. People go into eternal punishment. And then Jude described people who undergo the punishment of eternal fire. So I'm saying all this to say that these are some things that people use to try to escape the realities of hell. They try to soften it. but you can't soften it. You can't soft soap it. You got to spoon feed it, and you have to give it like it is. Now let's look at, what is the purpose of hell? What is the purpose of hell? You know, why did God even create hell? All right. It is a place where people who don't want to be with God go. You will say, who in the world does not want to be with God? Well, let me give you three groups of people that don't want to be with God, right? Here's three groups of people that don't want to be. So this kind of knocks in the head this idea of, well, you know, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? God is not letting anybody go to hell. He provided a way out. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, so that we don't have to go to hell. So here's three groups of people that don't want to be with God. Why would God, now come on, think about this. Why would God make somebody come be with him that don't want to be with him, right? That makes no sense. And so the atheists don't want to be with God because they don't even per se believe in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So why would God make somebody come to be with him that don't even believe in him? You know, come on, man. We need to use common sense here. Sometimes this is not even spiritual sense. This is not even theological sense. This is just common sense. Why would God, how could a loving God let somebody go to heaven? I mean, go to hell. Because people don't want to be with him. If you are that determined that you don't believe in God, then God is not going to make you come with him. The heathen don't want to be with God. The scripture is very clear about this in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast their cords from us. Look at the heathen. The heathen rage, right? And not only do they rage, but look what it says. They set themselves against. They turn their face to God. They shake their fist in the face to God. And notice what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of like a college student, right? When they first leave home and they go to live in the dorm. And, you know, there's nobody there, no parent there to, you know, see what time they come in at night. No parent there to hold them accountable. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody now, so don't, I'm not broad brushing. I'm not saying everybody. I have to say this because sometimes people think I'm talking about everybody. You know, I'm talking about some college students. Pastor Glaze might've been one of those. So I'm gonna throw myself in that group, right? Where, you know, all the rules and regulations that you had to live by while you were in your parents' house, right? You cast them off. You know what? I'm not gonna do this anymore. I don't have to do this anymore. So you cast off the bands. You cast off the guidelines, the regulations, the rules. And that's what it says that the heathen do. That the heathen, they don't want God's chains on their life. They don't want God's chain on their life to tell them, you know, they can't go out and get drunk. They don't want God's chains on their life to tell them they can't go out and commit fornication and adultery.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Hell, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Hell, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Haar reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.